Psalm 34. The scripture is very memorable in my thought processes because I saw 23 people saved in India with this one verse of scripture because I handed around a magnifying glass. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. And they had never seen a magnifying glass.
Really?
No. This is a tribal village. Sherard had one for reading. You know, some people have those big reading glasses, you know, before you get glasses and so you can enlarge a whole page of print. And he had one of those and I asked him if I could borrow it. So we went to that village that night. This was the scriptures that I shared, and I passed that magnifying glass around, and they were absolutely enthralled, fascinated with such a thing. Because I said, now hold it over your hand, and you pull it back, and it would make your hand larger. Whatever you're looking at, it makes it larger. And they had never seen anything like that. And, you know, over here, we have so many things that's nothing to us. But to them, a simple thing is everything. And when I started talking about magnifying the Lord, in many of these tribal villages, all they have is problems and difficulties and hardships and worries, fears, cares, concerns. They don't have, unless they're saved, they don't have a God that they can go to provide for their needs. And it was very strange to hear them talking about magnifying the Lord, making the Lord of the Bible big in their lives, bigger than their problems, bigger than their worries, bigger than their fear, bigger than their cares, and how they had never heard of such a thing because their gods are mean to them and they serve them out of fear because they feel that their gods are going to strike retaliation against them. There is no God of love. And so when you go to a place where it's just filled with Hindu gods and goddesses and statues and idols and stones and temples. For us to go there and share the gospel of the God of the Bible, you can't go and attack their religion, but you can tell them that there's a God. It's above all of their gods, and you can know this God through his Son, Jesus Christ, and that opens the door without attacking their religion because they're very religious and very spiritual. But they just don't have any father like ours. They have no God like our God. And so to magnify the Lord is such an encouragement to us too, because when you look at the things that you're concerned the most about, instead of magnifying the problem, magnify the one who's going to take care of it for you, because you have someone you can go to, even if you don't have a person that you can hook up with in prayer, you can go yourself before the throne of grace because of the blood of Jesus Christ and come boldly with confidence right into his very presence. But when you magnify him, it makes your troubles look smaller. And the next one that goes with it, oh, and let us exalt his name together. There's something about when we're all on the same page when it comes to those things. And when we all come together here, it's a corporate time of praise and worship, the word, praying for each other. So it's a time to really be a blessing and encourage each other with the fellowship, the huggy break. All of those things are important because we don't get to experience this during the rest of the week generally. So it's a time to exalt him, to put him first place, just put everything else on the back burner. The roast isn't going to burn, and you probably had enough turkey already, so you wouldn't be quick to run home to have some more of that today, probably. I don't know. Maybe you would. But it's a time to exalt him, to lift him up and put him first place. Verse 4, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from three of my fears on Tuesday. Oh. No, that's what it says. Delivered. Oh, I'm sorry. It's Friday. Delivered me from three of my fears on Friday.
About
Charlena, you got my Bible down there? It says, I sought the Lord. Personal. I sought the Lord, and a batter is dead in his hearing aid. Wrong answer. He's Ancient of Days, but boy, is he sharp at hearing your voices. He's sharp at hearing your prayer. So when you think that you have to shout to get his attention, no, that was Baal's God. And they picked on him. Where's your God now? Did you overwork him? Did he take a day off? Is he tired? Is he having a nap? Where is he? He's present. And he says, I sought the Lord and he heard me. Make that personal for you. We have that assurance. John talks about that in the little epistle of John. And if we know that he hears us, we have the petitions that we ask of him. We have this confidence. And delivered me from all of my fears. And it does say all, not just three. But it gives you the opportunity to think about what's available. That job. See, we prayed for that. So now, every time you think about it, don't just keep saying, I hope I get that job. Father, I thank you for that job, that I'll at least have a shot at it, to see if I'm qualified or not, I'll at least have the opportunity, because we've prayed. And so we seal prayer with thanksgiving, so there's no more fear in that. There's no more worry, there's no anxiety about it. When you go before the Lord and you seek him for whatever those needs might be, that's the time to thank him, because Jesus said, when you pray, believe that you receive when you pray. Not when you see it. See, faith sees it now. And so that's why thanksgiving is really important when we pray. We talked about that last week. But I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all of my fears. And so when that's personal for you, you don't have anything to be afraid of. You can all fly now. You don't have to be afraid to get in an airplane. Boy, so many of my friends around town. I ain't getting anything if it's higher than my kneecaps. I ain't getting in it. Wow. You better get a roller skate set then, because flying is much safer than roller skating. You can suffer some massive injuries roller skating. But airplanes, millions of people fly every day. But there's just this thing about a lot of Vermonters where they have nothing to do with flying. That's I do too. It's great. Good meals, good deals, good meals, good wheels.
Good scenery.
I like the FBI. Wheels up. Boy, that's a scream when it's going down the runway 180, 190 miles an hour. Wheels up time. I love the rush of those engines when they put them on full blast and they just thrust you right into the back of the seat. Awesome, what a rush. Can you imagine what it's going to be like going home with Jesus? What a rush that's going to be, huh? Boy, there won't be no need for afterburners. It'll get you right there quickly. Yes, Barb?
Little comment. I always help the pilot with the brake.
Do you?
She does. You know, like where I'm sitting is that invisible brake. I always make sure I
stop. Yeah. Yeah, it's every rivet in it starts shaking when they put the reverse the engine, so the thrust is blowing forward instead of backward. That whole thing just shakes, and if you buy a window, you can see the rivets in the wings just rattling, because if it weren't flexible, it would break when it flies. And the wings, when they feel the wings, they're just hanging down, but as the aircraft increases speed, the wings lift. It's like the word. We can get weighted down with problems and burdens, but when the wings of the Spirit lift you, it just lifts you and you just soar above those things. It's so precious. There's so many parables in everyday life that relate to the Word, that relate to what God has already done. But anyway, if you have any fear about flying, it really isn't about flying. It's about the dying you got to take care of. You know that's true.
That is true. That is true.
Yes. We don't mind dying. It's just a method. Anyway, greet each other. Sometimes I just like to listen to the wind blow around this building and just be reminded that it's like the spirit wind, the wind of the spirit that just like a mighty rushing wind, yes, it just and just settles upon each of us so that he catches us up with him. And nothing else matters at that moment. Scriptures I have this morning for communion, two places. One is Psalm 103, the first five verses. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all our iniquities, who heals all our diseases, who redeems our life from destruction, who crowns, us, with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies our mouth with good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. And yes, I took the your to our, because this is what the Lord has done for each and every one of us. And even though this is an Old Testament psalm, it's very prophetic about the new covenant with Christ. First, though, coming back to verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul. We have to remember that our soul is our mind, our will, our emotions, our five physical senses. And the mind, until Christ came into our lives, always ruled everything. That's why reasoning is almost an enemy to our faith, because it'll try to talk us out of it. But bless the Lord, O my soul. Sometimes we have to tell our minds who's boss. So be careful about giving away a piece of your mind, because in a week's time you might not have any left to give. Don't do that. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Tell yourself, I may not feel like it. It might be a bad hair day, and I just don't feel like blessing the Lord. I just don't feel like it. See, that's the soulish realm, that's the flesh realm, and the flesh realm would say, my flesh never feels like blessing the Lord. And until we renew our minds to the Word of God, we're not going to even think God thoughts. That's part of the renewal of the mind. We have the Spirit of God abiding within us, but we have to renew our minds. And sometimes, the Bible has a lot to talk about our thinking, but when it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, the spirit man will always bless the Lord. He just always will, because he's made in the image of Christ. But it's the mind, it's the soulish realm that needs to be reminded, hey, you don't run my life anymore. I'm under a higher authority than you. Now, mind, you are going to bless the Lord today, whether you want to or not. You're going to. And get firm about it, because you know how quickly a thought can start and then everything follows after that. So we have to learn to discipline ourselves about that. And I know that, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Well, that doesn't leave much left, does it? If we want everything within us to bless the Lord, that means that just blocking out everything else about what we're going to do a half hour from now or later or what we might be thinking about at any given moment. It's not really important. Our life is in God's hands, and right now he hasn't squeezed the life out of us. And he won't. He nurtures the life that's within each of us. So we're safe there. Bless his holy name. He says it again, bless the Lord, O my soul. But then he says something different. And forget not all of his benefits. You know, when Jesus talked about communion, and he said, as often as you do it in remembrance of me. And that's one of the reasons every once in a while I come back to these, because it's a reminder for ourselves to not forget what are the benefits. And if you think about a job, Stuart, who was just in the process of trying to believe God for the best job for him, he considers the benefits. What am I going to get out of it? Isn't that true? When we look for work, we tend to think along those lines. What's in it for me? But you know, from the Christian's perspective, we need to be looking at how can the company benefit by my being there? What do I have to give? What do I have to offer them so that they can benefit by my being there? Well, number one, you bring the favor of God. You bring the anointing of God. You bring the blessing of God. You bring the kingdom of God everywhere you go. So whatever job you end up with, it's going to be a blessing for you to be there. But we generally think in terms of that. What? How much are they going to pay me per hour? How will they pay me overtime? How many days off do I get? How many holidays do I get? And it's always me, 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 me. It's all about me and my blessings, my benefits. But in Christ, yes, it is. It was all about Christ providing for our benefits. And then we're going to list a few of them. Who forgives all of our sins. Did you notice this is written in the present tense? Not the past, not the future, but the present. So in 3,012 more years, you can pick up your Bible and it will still say the same thing. Who forgives? Because Christ has already paid for all of our sins at the cross. We never have to look back on them. That would insult his work at the cross. Every time we bring up our past, we're insulting the work of the cross. It's settled. It's done. It's finished. It's over. That's the seriousness of that, to really start living our lives like that so that we don't let the mistakes we made in the past keep us from going forward. They're under the blood of Jesus. The sacrifice has been given 2,000 years ago, and there is no more reason to dwell on, to think about, or let the past have anything to do with today. Today we have. And so today, he forgives all of our iniquities, our shortcomings, our failures, our sins, our failure to meet the mark, if you will. Who heals all our diseases. Oh, imagine, there it is, present tense again. Why can we say that? Because of what he's already done. See, those things have been provided at the cross. So if Jesus bore all my sicknesses, carried my diseases according to Matthew 8:17, then why should I have to carry them? I can't deny their symptoms, but I can deny their right to exist on this body, which was paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. I've been redeemed, and so have you. You've been redeemed from every curse that's ever been on generations of your family in eons past that you don't even have any recollection of. Jesus became a curse in our place. That's a great benefit. We don't have to go around and expect that we're going to die like our grandpa did, or like our fathers did, or like our mothers did, or like our grandfathers did, or grandmothers. You don't have to live that life. Jesus Christ came into your life and he put a stop to that for you. And all of those that will live after you, your children, your grandchildren, to 1,000 generations. That's really out there, so I don't know who's got the chainsaw, but if somebody cuts a limb off, you're all going with me on this one. But if you see it from God's perspective, you'll really understand that. You must see that. That's what the cross was all about, for all of the benefits, all of the blessings. When Jesus said, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." These are the kind of things he was talking about. Everything that's in the kingdom of God is for you, for us, amen, to enjoy. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you freely. And it came through the cross. Who redeems our lives from destruction, or your life individually. What I think of all the things I did in my life that could have been fatal, or just the quality of life that was taking my life, if you will, perhaps yours. He's redeemed you from that. That means he paid off your debtor, the one that tried to take you out. No, not your boyfriend, come on. Your debtor, the one who owned your soul, the one who had nothing but evil plans for you, to snuff you out, to take you out. He's redeemed you. He paid the price by giving of himself in our place. Isn't that awesome? So that your life has worth, it has value, it's precious, it's meaningful. We live life with a purpose. Oh, there's so much in here. There's so much meat and potatoes in here. Who crowns you with loving kindness. And we talked about the five crowns for the believer last week and the week before. And when I think of crowns, I think of royalty. We're the king's kids. That means we have privileges. We don't have rights, we have privileges. Because true rights are given over to him to do with our life as he would have us. We could cooperate, but still, to be crowned with loving kindness, not just kindness out of an obligation, but kindness out of the motive of unconditional love in the Father's heart for each person. That's different than just kindness. It's what's the motive behind it. It isn't malice. It's unconditional love. He puts up with quite a lot of stuff sometimes. Sometimes I push the envelope, I think. I don't know about you, but and tender mercies. Oh, I like that. When you just think about those words coming from the Father's heart, you can't not get caught up in and coming to realize in a deeper understanding, a deeper revelation of how much God really loves you individually. How much he cares for you as a person, as an individual. That he was willing to do all of these things and show his heart. He dared to show his heart for who he really is. Shouted at the cross. Verse 5. Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Anybody ever studied eagles? Anything about eagles? How they go off to a secluded place and pull out all their feathers and grow all new ones? You know that? Yeah, they do. And in the Lord, when I think about my life being redeemed from destruction, it was like suddenly my life started all over again, but a new life. One that wasn't there before. And I told Stuart today that I was 71 and that I would be 72 in May. And he says, "You sure don't look like it." And then he says, "You don't act like it either." I don't know. I've never been there before, so I can't tell from experience yet. But it's so true. When I wasted away half of my life and God gave me a new life, I don't have all of those symptoms that all the people I bowl with seem to have that they talk about all the time. All the body aches and pains and and the stress and the anguish and the cares and the concerns and the worries and the fears and all the meds and all that. And that's not a boast on me. That's a boast on what God has done and the new life that He gave me. My brain was so fried from so many of the drugs I did, I couldn't tell you what I had for breakfast. But a new life. It's made brand new. I don't have any of those things in my life anymore. And I can remember very sharply when I couldn't memorize much of anything anymore. I can memorize the word. I actually remember people's names most of the time. It's getting better. But it's part of the renewal process. It's part of being renewed, like the eagles. Just like pulling out all those old feathers and growing all new ones. And that's the work of the cross for each one of us. The new life that He offers us, that quality of life that is so much different. Unless you were born again when you were 2 years old or lived in a Christian home where this is old hat, some of us didn't. And so when we have a new life, we really know how to celebrate it. Some had the privilege of growing up in a Christian home and maybe got saved when you were 3 or 4 years old in Sunday school class. I never went to Sunday school class. I probably would have wanted to burn it down at the time of my life then. I was good at starting fires. Now they're spiritual fires. Yes, sir. Yes. So when it comes communion time and I look at these scriptures, I take them personally because they're written to me just as they're written to you. And I don't forget them. I'm a very, very thankful person because my life was a breath from death several times. One intentionally, one a drug overdose. So I can relate to the ones that are right on the edge now. But the Lord redeemed me from the next new drug that came down the pike. Because I wouldn't be here, I'm sure. That's why whenever our Peggy's, sometimes they really feel a compassion and a passion to pray for people in our neighborhoods, people on our streets, people in our towns that are so addicted to drugs that it's fatal in many instances. They don't get a second chance. They don't get a third chance. God gave me that. The other remembrance at communion that I think about is from the Gospel of John chapter 17. This is really the Lord's Prayer, because this is a prayer that Jesus prayed. And it was a prayer for not only His disciples, but for all the believers that would come after the disciples went out and evangelized and people got saved through their testimony. This whole chapter is a prayer. These words spoke Jesus and lifted up His eyes to heaven and said. And then there's nothing else but red letters. That was His prayer. This is what He said to the Father. But concerning us, I really, really like verse 21 that's sandwiched in here so very nicely. Because communion literally means to come in union with, come in agreement with, to be one with. Gospel of John chapter 17 and verse 21. And this is part of Jesus' prayer, that they all may be one, as You, Father, are in Me and I in You, that they also may be one in us. One meaning the believers that would come after, that the world may believe that You have sent Me. That's the witness, that's the evidence, that we stand as one. Just as the Father and the Son were one, the Father and Him and He and the Father, the same as You and the Father and the Father in You, and we being one with each other in that same kind of oneness. So there's a unity of the Spirit, one Spirit, one faith, one Lord, one baptism, which is Christ. That's the common denominator. So when we have communion together, it's very special, it's very meaningful, because it is a reminder of what he did for each one of us. And so as I asked you in the very beginning today to maybe be thinking about, I wouldn't ask you by name, but I did ask if there might be something to make this interactive among us, that you're thankful about something about communion, maybe you have a testimony of what it means to you personally. Would you share? Would you be willing to share that? Anyone else before we enjoy those things together? This is what he satisfies our mouth with, good things, the bread of life. Can I get a helper? Oh my God, they robbed me of my job. It's not my job, man. Father, we thank you. Where Jesus said, take and eat. This is my body, which is broken, which is given for you. Do it in remembrance of me. So, Father, we thank you. As each of these pieces of bread represents the entire loaf, Jesus being that loaf, that bread of life, each one of us is represented by each piece of bread as our part in your kingdom, our part in your family, our piece of that one loaf of bread. And we thank you, Lord, for the privilege, because of the blood of Jesus, that we can participate and know that our names are in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed us from all unrighteousness, and that we can freely partake of this without guilt or condemnation, but just knowing the joy of being able to literally taste and see your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. To the bread of life, because he is the bread of life, may we receive that infusion today of new life, new thoughts, new purpose, new focus, new energy, new dreams and visions, new answered prayers, new understanding and revelation and discernment. In Jesus' name. It's really interesting, because within, I don't know how long it takes, but the infusion of these things into us will be carried by our blood to every cell of our bodies. What a wonderful thing to carry out of here today, huh? Father, we thank you that it was indeed by your blood, always from the beginning, you killed the first animal to cover Adam and Eve and made clothing from that animal's skin. And all through generations, it was always about the blood. And even the cross. And John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. We thank you, Father, for the power of the blood. It has always been powerful. It is today, and it will never lose its power. It is the one sacrifice that's been given for all generations, past, present, and future. And there will never need to be another sacrifice. This was your ultimate sacrifice for each one of us. And so, Father, we thank you. We thank you for what this reminds us of in the new life that we have in you and with you and with each other, in Jesus' name. This is better than any of the best food that we could eat, but when I'm thinking about some of the things that are my favorites to eat, I like to savor the flavor. So I would just say, when you drink this, savor the flavor.
Yeah.
No. It's supposed to be a joyful occasion. You know, that's another thing that this reminds me of. It's okay to rejoice and be glad at what the Lord has done for each of us. Does anybody need prayer today, this morning, so we can pray for each other? And